Thank you. Thank you to our host, to members of parliament, to the partners of Safety Net for European Journalists, the project I am presenting here to you, a project financed by DDG Connect for the media freedom field. We present the results of this project, a year-long project aimed at discussing how to empower journalists and how to empower threatened journalists in particular. We worked on 11 countries in 10 languages. We had a very multifaceted activity going on. We've been reporting, we've been monitoring media freedom violation, we've been carrying out research. You have on the table one of the last output of our work, which has been a fully-fledged research with some policy advice for you MPs, very well summarized in the last table on the last page of the book. I wish to show you, to start with, a little video that presents in a nice way the activity we carried out as four partners, which is Osservatorio Balcani Caucaso, two media monitoring organizations that are SIMO and Ossigeno per l'Informazione, and Eugenia Siapera, the coordinator of the project you have on the table, of the report you have on the table, and 11 media partners, one for each country, which were 11 countries, as mentioned, countries that include Italy, Turkey and Southeast Europe as a whole, which means seven EU member states and four candidate countries. An entire area which has very special problems and common problems as well. Unfortunately, an area that is rated as only partly free or non-free if we consider the rating by Freedom's House. So a vulnerable area of our European space. Our approach has been a very grassroots approach. We wanted to talk to threatened journalists, to find out from the grassroots what were their main concerns and needs and how to face their needs, looking at their perspective. So let me first show you the video. Thank you.
Governments would feel much happier and would be much more satisfied if journalists were not asking for these documents, not asking questions.
I'm happy that our work is important not only for me, for my colleagues and for Ukrainians. I'm happy that it's important for Europe and for the world.
I think the biggest problem is we are missing solidarity between journalists.
If you have to write for 10 euros, how can you really do a question which puts you in a bad light in front of the politician?
Publikuos pronari për teti media. Vetëm në atë mënyrë gazetarët do të jetë të pambarur prej qendrave të tjera të fuqisë.
I would like to quote a friend of mine who said that in many of our countries in the Balkans there is a freedom of speech, but there is no freedom after the speech.
Ülkede basın özgürlüğünü geliştirmek için mutlaka gazetecilerin siyasetten önce mesleki dayanışmanın olduğunu farkına varmaları ve birlikte mücadele etmeleri gerekiyor.
You as a reader, you as a citizen, don't exactly know where the truth is, and that is why we all have to fight for quality journalism, high journalistic standards, reporting the facts.
Thank you.
Thank you. The short video wanted to summarize a very intense activity carried out by this transnational partnership. By the way, we worked in 10 languages, not only in 11 countries. And working in this transnational partnership with this variety of activities allowed us to examine structural problems such as, for instance, media ownership concentration or the perverse mix between business and politics in these countries, or the main sources of threats, for instance, commercial business interests that hamper quality journalism, or the main mechanism that put journalists in danger, including violence, but also slander, defamation. They are discussed systematically in the report by Eugenia Siapera that results from the work of carrying out 110 interviews in 10 different countries. There are also equally pernicious trends that emerge from this work that are less discussed. For instance, the deregulation of employment conditions and also the problem of the deprofessionalization of the field. You in this room are generally expert of the field and are aware of the variety of issues I am just mentioning now here. And you know that there are context-specific problems that we have highlighted. In some cases, authoritarian legacies, ethnic issues, corruptions that is by no means uncommon, unfortunately. And of course, media reflect and are shaped by economic performances, political context, and structural problems of these countries. But many of the problems highlighted and the suggestions provided by the journalists themselves to face in these countries are common. Because, as already mentioned, old arrangements where they existed are no longer attainable, since especially old business models have been challenged by internet and technological developments. The journalist, our ultimate goal was to, with a safety net for European journalists, or journalism, was to allow MENA's journalist needs to emerge. And our interlocutors in the field refer to us a number of important aspects. First of all, one of the most important needs they identify and stress is certainly the need for legal assistance and financial support. Journalists need it when they face slander, when they face physical menace. But there are transparency of the public and private media distribution as another important aspect they focused on. As parallel to lawsuits, another important mechanism for controlling and disciplining journalism is the control through advertising. In some countries, legal provisions have to be rethought, but of course, we know it. There is a problem of implementation of EU rules and regulation in many of these countries. There are as well less known aspects that emerge from our work that are central. And first of all, solidarity among journalists, from their unions, and from the public opinion is one of the core issues that we discussed. And last but not least, certainly, the need to re-legitimize the profession with its codes of ethics, its organization in general. These days, following the massacre in Paris, discussing media freedom and the role of journalism in societies seems natural, even obvious sometimes. However, in our year-long work, we found out how difficult it is to stimulate a discussion around media freedom. Before Paris, only extreme situations such as the ban of Twitter in Turkey would arouse significant interest in the public sphere. Generally, the perception is that there is either no issue, as we live in a democratic country, or this does not deserve attention, as journalists are dramatically discredited in the eyes of the public opinions. Our wide effort, then, has been to draw public attention thanks to this transnational wide campaign carried out among media partners and our social networks. And this has been a beginning, clearly, because much has to be done in the public sphere. Overall, it is clear that to improve the situation of media freedom in Southeast Europe, Italy and Turkey, it is fundamental to seek the journalists, seek alliances in their, with the public and their society at large that journalism is ultimately going, supposed to serve. But what they need to do is to regain public support. Guaranteeing media freedom requires broader social political changes, and we have to make sure that societies and the political institutions are willing to carry them out. Indeed, solidarity by international organizations should not be underestimated. The work carried out by the OSCE, the Council of Europe, the European Parliament and the Commission, as well as NGOs or the European journalistic institutions engaged in this field is important, very important, both in terms of watchdog for media freedom violation, but also for the visibility they can give to the accomplishment of journalists, to their contribution to society. Because all this can take part in giving greater recognition to the role of journalism. Moreover, to promote its values, including media freedom as a pillar of democracy, the EU should exercise its soft power through the media and be more present in the media. This is very evident in Southeast Europe, where we have Al Jazeera Balkans, CNN Balkans, the Russian media, and there is little European Union. And in this sense, Safety Net contributed to make media freedom and the EU more present in already established independent media of these 11 countries. Because we worked in this transnational editorial partnership to reach really existing public opinions. Our grassroots approach that we adopted also thanks to the work of the monitoring organization CIMO and Ossigeno per l'Informazione, as well adopted this idea of awareness-raising campaign going at local level, because even the same monitoring activity cannot be done from distance. It has to be done at local level by grassroots organizations to understand media freedom violation and address them. Finally, as managed journalists have very concrete needs, in our work with Safety Net, we issued, thanks to the work of CIMO, a practical manual in 10 languages that provide advice on, for instance, how to protect sources, how to store data, contacts, how to mitigate threats coming from the web, among the very many threats that can be there. Therefore, with the manual, with the research by Eugenia Siapera, with the wide awareness-raising campaign in different activities, with very intense production of information at transnational level, thanks to this media partnership, we have all contributed to empower journalism from the grassroots in order to protect media freedom as we're here to discuss. It is a necessary condition for democracy to prosper in the European Union. Thank you.